If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, pay the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, walking, grinding all my life.
And Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Twitter and Facebook Live. You want to find us, you can find us. Big show today. We have Devin Ellington joining us in the second segment to do some sports betting, which I know Darren is always excited about, so hopefully he can give you some good picks. I wanted to start the show off today doing Darren and Sterling on ESPN Kansas City, a tradition unlike any other. With the with the matches going on, I gotta throw some Jim Nance in there. But Darren, how you doing on this pretty nice Friday?
Doing pretty good, man. First thing I want to do is, on behalf of our show, send out our thoughts and prayers to the family of Earl Simmons, otherwise known as DMX, who passed away at the age of 50 today. So we'll be obviously celebrating his life throughout the show and stuff when we come back from break. But he was 50 years old. He was a cultural icon, in our community. A great lyricist, a devout Christian, and someone that when you don't, or when you get money, get fame, and you have access to things that that everybody else has, and maybe a higher quality, a higher quantity, you can succumb to those type of things. So want to wish he and his family obviously our deepest condolences, and as they say, the show must go on. But the Masters, Sterling, I don't know whether or not you made any particular picks on who you think is going to win this thing, but the people who've been doing well thus far, I think Rose is the one that's been in
Justin
the lead.
Justin,
he's been in the lead from the very beginning. But of course, you have Spieth that's out there as well, and so there is a battle obviously that's going to go all the way into Sunday's game, where now whether or not he can hold on and hold everybody off, I'm not sure. He's he only shot even today, so he shot he just shot par today, and is still leading by two. So
it's the Masters, man. It was great. If you weren't Justin Rose yesterday, you had a bad day on the golf course. Justin Rose was the only one who was going low yesterday. Today, we're seeing a little bit lower scores. Tony Finau is doing pretty solid. Cameron Champ's doing pretty solid. We've seen Bryson DeChambeau get after it a little bit. The Masters, it's tough. Whoever is, as long as you make the cut, you're in contention. With Dustin Johnson going 20 under, a record last year where it looked like no one could stop him. Even he's struggling this year. The Masters, it just gets after you. It's so difficult to consistently put up four straight days of great scoring. That's what makes this tournament so intriguing, that no matter who you are, you have a chance as long as you make the cut.
You know what's interesting is that as holy as people make Augusta out to be, you would think that these players would golf there more often to try to get, more and more used to it, knowing that this is obviously, I know you only play there, you only golf there once a year, but because of the tradition of it, because of, how this particular major can set you up for life or whatever, you would think that more players would golf this during their off time and stuff like that to try to, I guess you could say try to master the course, so to speak. But I'm actually shocked about that. Like you said, last year I think he won 20 under, and then this year he's already 7 under, and he shot even today. So had he shot anything close to what he did yesterday, then he would have already put this Masters out to reach.
Yeah. So the reason why is you got to be a member. You got to be a member of the Masters, and to be a member of the Masters, you got to win. You got to win the green jacket and get into the elusive club upstairs where you get your little gold plated locker. Yeah.
Well,
exclusive.
Well, in all fairness, you have to do more than, well, you don't have to win the Masters to be a member. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, because Roger Manfred Rob Manfred is a member, sure, of Augusta. Sure. So, you know, I know he ain't walking around in no green jacket either. So, I mean, so there are other prerequisites to be able to golf day throughout the year and stuff like that. But I'm just saying in general, because, you know, I was listening to how you were describing being in Augusta, being down there. And I was listening, I think I was listening to Skip and Shannon this morning. They were kind of talking about, you know, about the golf course and just really how perfect it is now.
It is.
I don't do golf. I don't golf. I mean, look, the best I can do is if you want to play some bets on that, meet me over at Cool Crest and I got you,
hey,
you know,
Cool Crest. That's
the best I can do for you. I respect it. I mean, I respect everything about what it has going on. I'm just not, because I've never golfed, and I know it takes a lot to. I know it takes a lot to it. So, I don't know how often you may have golfed growing up. I know you like to go and hit it often.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, obviously, in my where I was coming up from, we played kickball, we played baseball, so for the most part, and then football and basketball. So golf was never one of those things that, you know, kind of like entered into the fray competition. But watching it and you know, now I can't lie, watching on CBS, ESPN, where, you know, they show all the little camera, you know, movements and the different fairways and stuff. I mean, when you look at it, it really does look like a perfect golf course, you know, but again, you know,
aim in corner is the perfect, right there is just perfect. It's perfection. You have the azaleas, you have the pine straw, you have the water, you have the bridge, you have perfection right there at aim in corner.
So when we look at it, what is it, I guess, about the Masters that separates it from the other three, you know, the PGA, the British Open, the U.S. Open?
Well, normally the U.S. Open is just so difficult. They just bump everything back and you're playing. The Masters, what makes it so special is the history, the stories, the tradition. The fact that while they've extended it, it's still the same golf course. It's still one of those things where no matter how far you hit it, look at Bryson DeChambeau. He was talking all that smack in November about how the Masters is traditionally a par 72. And then he's saying, I'm basically playing it as a par 67 because I'm so long off the tee. And, of course, he gets spit up and eat it and just spit out right there. And that's what makes it so impressive. No matter how hard or how far you hit it, no matter if you're hitting 350 or 310, which, again, that's a long ways away, you got to be precise. You have to be precise, and you have to have your A game, or else you will get chewed up and spit out.
So, Sterling, if you had the opportunity, do you think you could golf? Think you could do well there?
I would love to, and I would shoot 110 at a minimum. Dude, it would be brutal for me. I would be terrible. Those greens would be so quick, I would be putting into the lakes out there. Into the ponds. I'd be in the water.
All right, so big question. Can Justin Rhodes, hold the lead from now through the end of Sunday?
Yeah.
Will he walk away with the green jacket?
I would.
And if so, and if he doesn't, who is the one that can come from behind and get him?
So I like Justin Rhodes, but if I was putting money down right now, I probably wouldn't put it down on him to be the guy to walk away. He made a shot as wide round one. You go 7-under, then you go even round two. Maybe you roiled it, rounded your life the first round. The second round, you went back to reality, even though round two, obviously guys are going lower, which means the course is playing a little bit easier today. Some guys you got to look out for are some of the top guys in golf, guys like Jordan Spieth. Watch out for him. I still like Matsuyama, even though he didn't have the best day today. Justin Thomas. I typically go for guys who are, they've won a lot of big tournaments because the nerves on Sunday, they rattle the most seasoned golfers. I like guys who have been there before, who have won before, and who've won big tournaments. I like guys like Tony Finau, Justin Thomas. That's probably where I'd go. Jordan Spieth, that's where I would go with some of the guys who have been there and done it before.
Do we know what the cutoff is going to be?
Looking like +3 right now. Looking like +3, which a lot of very good golfers will be on the outside looking in if that is where it's going to be at.
I mean, because I'm looking at the leaderboard. I'm, you know, obviously, if he's able to hold, you know, he was the only one that really shot under par yesterday, I believe. I think he was the only one to shoot under par. I think it was 70 yesterday, if not 69. But that being the case, I mean, if he goes back to doing anything than what he did yesterday, and correct me if I'm wrong. Now it's the same. So they're shooting the same holes each day, correct? You know, all 18 holes are the same. It's not like they're going someplace different or anything.
So it's the same 18, but it'll be different pin locations. And it may not seem like a big deal, but the pin locations can be very difficult. For example, if you have it right over the bunker on the front left, that's a very tough pin location to try and birdie. That's where you take your medicine and try and go to the middle of the green and get your two-putt par. Now, if they move the pin to maybe the back right, opens up a little bit, you can be a little bit more aggressive, go into that pin location, and try and stick it for a birdie putt. So pin location makes a huge difference, especially when we're talking about guys who are this good. For someone like myself, that's not making a huge difference. I'm getting lucky. Guys like this, pin location, they can put it to within, 3 feet to 15 feet almost at will. That's a big difference.
Now, unless he has a great second half or whatever, I'm pretty sure that we are probably not going to have a repeat champion in Dustin Johnson this year. Would I be safe in saying that?
Right now, it's not looking good for him, but you can never cut Dustin Johnson out. He is the king of going low. He puts up low scores all the time. You just don't want him to get hot. If he can get hot, I would not count him out. Some big names looking on the outside, looking in. Brooks Koepka, he's been there, been a huge champion before. Max Homa, Matt Kuchar, Lee Westwood, Rory McIlroy. These are guys on the outside right now. If it was to end right now, they're not making the cut. They're not playing Saturday. They're not playing Sunday. There's some big names right now on the outside looking in.
One name to also keep in mind is Brian Harman. I know we haven't mentioned him much at all, but he's won under the days thus far with four holes to go. He is minus 400. If he at least birdies, the remaining holes, he will get a chance to jump over Justin Rose and take the lead. So let's keep an eye out for him as well, because he's one of the few that are still playing. He and Siwoo Kim, so those are players that are still out there, including, Will Zalatoris. I mean, he could possibly come from behind and tie Justin Rose as we prepare to end the second round. So, like you said, a lot of players. Justin Rose does not have this locked up. We'll be interested to see. Obviously, if the weather can hold up. Obviously, last year and the last few years, you've always had rain that would kind of preempt it or push it to the next day, something like that. Right now, it's only, I think it's 75 degrees down there, but they've have like 51% precipitation. So
yeah,
so it's an issue. So that is also, that's always an issue, obviously, with April. April brings the showers and stuff. So, kind of forgot about that.
Yeah. Rain makes a huge difference at the Masters. Slows up the greens, allows you to get closer, but also can add a different element to the game. Something I want to talk about before we bring on Devin Ellington of Hoopball in the second segment. The Royals. 3-3. They played today against the Chicago White Sox, but they were blanked. They lost 6-0 yesterday. Lance Lynn out there, or I guess that'd be on 2 days ago, Wednesday. Lance Lynn, complete game, 11 strikeouts. Royals couldn't muster a run. Are you nervous at all about this Royals offense after the past four games scoring 3 runs or less?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, you wonder where the bats went, and you wonder where the energy went. I didn't expect them to be 3-3 after 6 games, and it's funny because I think we chatted a little bit before the show yesterday when we were talking about the line being under. I think eight runs yesterday, and they end up going under.
Yeah.
I'm real shocked. What's today? Today's the last. So yeah, I guess they play tomorrow, 1:00.
Tomorrow's the off day. Yes. Yeah. Tomorrow. Today's the off day. They play tomorrow.
Yeah. I know. That's it. Yeah.
No, they play tomorrow. That was on me, Darren. I got it wrong. I was wrong. I was looking at fantasy baseball, and I was on the wrong day. I got Salvador Perez at catcher for fantasy baseball. I'm feeling pretty good with that pick.
And perhaps maybe Kansas City just plays better at home. I don't know. Maybe they can score more runs at home than on the road. That is something, because it seems like, look, if I look at it just on trends, I expect them to get at least two runs tomorrow. You know, the first game against Indians. No, I take that back. I'm sorry. Their second game against the Indians, they lost 4-2. You know, they lost 6-0 yesterday with the Red Sox. I see them maybe getting two runs tomorrow. But the sheer fact that they're not scoring runs is a scary thought, because first we're wondering, could the pitching slow down to where they're not giving up as many runs? Now, they gave up six runs yesterday, but compared to, you know, like you said, the opening weekend where they gave up 14, 11, and 7, and then the last three games they've only given up 3, 4, and 6. I mean, the pitching has gotten better, but now I need the pitching and the hitting to kind of level and even itself out, and that's something that we're not seeing right now.
Yeah, I blame this more on the bats right now more than anything. You can't all of a sudden drop down to 3. Then you win 3-0, which is, again, that's not really the bats doing a lot. That's just phenomenal pitching. Danny Duffy going out there and throwing a gem. And then you lose 4-2. You got to score more than two runs. Then you get shelled and you get shut out 6-0. I mean, at some point, and I get it, you beat up on the Rangers, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to beat the Rangers. They're terrible. They're a bad team. You split with the Indians, which is, again, probably what you're supposed to do. We know the White Sox are good. We know Lance Lynn's a very good pitcher. But Lance Lynn's not Max Scherzer. Lance Lynn is not Jacob deGrom. It's Lance Lynn. He's good, not great. And you're getting shut out and blanked by him. You're getting blanked by a couple guys who, well, Logan Allen, a 24-year-old who no one really knows. You're getting blanked by him. I expected the Royals to be around 500. This is what I expected. But I want to see a little bit more consistency with them. I don't want one day, because putting up 14 is great one game, but if you're not going to consistently put up 4, 5, 6 runs, it's going to be tough to compete in a AL Central where I think third or even maybe second is pretty wide open.
Well, let's also say this. Even though we're only 6 games in, we still have to hold it. Baseball is a long season, so it's 162 games. But Andrew Benintendi, Carlos Santana, they have to play better. They have to do better. They're only averaging, 174 and 200 apiece, respectively. That's not good. That's not going to cut it. And Jorge Soler, he's only batting 158 as well. So our players that we expect to do well and that we kind of paid relatively high dollars to, they need to step up as well. You know, I mean, Whit Merrifield can't be our Bo Jackson. That it just can't happen, and he can't be our George Brett as well. Michael Taylor has done well. He's bad. I think he leads the team in batting average right now, .391. I mean, and that's good. That's good. But we've got to have our quote unquote money players step up and do better and play better. And Salvi to an extent as well. I know, you know, he's only batting .227, so
yeah, but he's been taking walks. His OPS his OPS is .892, which is outstanding.
Right. But what I was gonna say is that yeah, we don't have to have like homers and stuff like that. I think we may have talked about it with Steve Walsh at one time that, you know, if you can be like the 2015, 2014 Royals, where you're just getting on base and putting players in. But it's kind of like, you know, kind of like what they did in the first game when they had to come back and win. I mean, they were, you know, they were getting hits, they were getting on base, and then they were advancing runners. You know, not everything always has to be, you know, I guess for me, a home run type hit. But, you know, but at least getting on base where it's a single and let the single lead to possible steal, or let the single, you know, where somebody follows you that they can get a sacrifice bunt or something like that that can advance you. That type of stuff like that, I guess, really makes it more exciting for me, because now you're doing the little intricacies of the game, you know, to try to win. Because I'm not going to lie, dude, batting 158, 174, 200, that's just not good. I mean, that's a 20% average. I mean, if we were, you know, if they were shooting free throws at that pace, you know, we'd be all on their behinds right now. So shooting, you know, hitting 158, 174, 200, not going to cut it.
No.
I'll give you our Major League Baseball
and
player.
Andrew Benintendi, I still think can turn it around, but he looks lost at the plate. He's batting 200. He's not looking like the same guy from 2019 and 2018 when he
was. That's my point.
Well, I think it'll take time. I think he went to try and bulk up to hit home runs in 2020 and the end of 2019. He got injured a little bit in there as well. He needs to revert back to his normal swing. He said he's trying. He said he's trying to revert back and not trying to bulk up, not trying to consistently hit the ball out of the park every time at the plate. It's tough. These guys go through these stretches, and it takes time for them to turn it around. I think he'll turn it around, and something we do have to remember is Hunter Dozier has not been healthy the entire, basically part of the season so far, and Alberto Mondesi has been out the entire part of the season so far. I think getting Mondesi back will be a big boost to this lineup, not only with his speed, but also with his power. He brings a little bit more offensively than, say, Nicky Lopez.
No, I tend to agree. I know we got to get out of here, so let's take it a break, because I do want to holler my guy Devin and see what he's got for me for this weekend, because I'm ready to start making some bets, Sterling.
All right, we'll take a quick break. This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
I mean it. End of stuff. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling. I can't get up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Twitter and Facebook Live. Join now, special guest, trying to win us some money, hopefully win you guys some money too, Devin Ellington of HoopBall, sports better analyst extraordinaire. Devin, how you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing okay, man. You know, I remember the NCAA tournament, man. So we want to know how you fared out with the March Madness.
So over here at HoopBall, in the Wager Pass article that I submit picks to, my plays for March Madness actually topped out at 64.38%. My goal was 65, so I fell a little short.
Oh, that's good though. Okay, that could be better than me, dude. I struggled this year. It was brutal.
It was a slaughterhouse of a tournament.
Dude, like, thank you, Texas. Thank you, Texas, for just ruining all my hopes and dreams of... At least I didn't get last. Last place in my my group, they got to go to a Waffle House for 24 hours. And so each waffle you eat takes off 45 minutes of time you got to be there. So it's either eat, like, 30 waffles or you're there for 24 hours. So it's kind of fun.
Hey, I'd be in and out in about 2 hours.
Just putting them down.
Well, I don't mess around with waffles or tacos.
Yeah. Well, Devin, we do want to ask you, we got to get some of your Royals takes, because right when I got you on the phone, Darren, he goes, I got some hot, some spicy, El Caliente Royals takes up in here. Devin, let's hear them.
Yeah, so I made a dedication to kind of make a play on every single Royals game throughout the 162 this year. I picked two teams, them and the Red Sox. And so far to start the year, I'm 6-3, so hitting at about 66% on Royals plays. And, you know, I really love this squad. They made some really exciting additions in the offseason. Some young guys are starting to get some notoriety. Salvi's healthy and signed. So, you know, it's a good direction that it's going under Mike Matheny. It kind of seemed like it was a nice transitional torch pass. So the continuity seems in place. And I really love the way this team's rolling. And so for tomorrow's game, with the two pitchers that are going to be projected, probable pitchers, I believe we have Dylan Deceased on the mound.
Yeah.
And then we also have Mike Minor. So Minor gives up major runs. The White Sox really like to hit against lefties. And this is not a Royals bash fest. I'm going to get to the Royals bats here in a second, I promise. Hold on. But I just, all these bats are going to come alive in this game, essentially, is what I'm saying. And over 8.5, over 9, wherever you can get it, wherever you shop, I think that's a great spot to look at for tomorrow's game.
So I'm not going to lie. Okay. I'm not going to lie. Cease worries me a little bit. Dude brings the heat. He's a young guy. The Royals bats have been dormant the last four games. I trust the White Sox bats, don't get me wrong. Jose Abreu crushes lefties. Luis Robert, young stud. Yoan Moncada, I think he fares a little bit better against lefties than righties. I'm confident that the White Sox can get them in, but do you think the Royals bats come alive, they finally break out of this four-game slump and turn it over?
I will say one of those games was against Shane Bieber, so that's a big one right there.
Sure.
They didn't do a whole bunch against him.
That's fine, but don't get me wrong, Lance Lynn's good. But Lance Lynn's, that's his second career complete game shutout. Like, I like Lance Lynn. He's an innings eater, But, dude, you can't get shut out, strike it 11 times, and not put up a whimper.
Maybe 37-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, that's just where I'm and then Logan Allen, you're going to get – come on. Like, I'm a huge Royals fan. They're my one true love. And I don't know if I got a little misguided with that quick start they had. But I'm not saying they got to put up 6-7 runs a game, but you got to get more than three runs or less your past four games.
Four or five will do it, and this is a good optimistic buy low spot for the Royals, if you will.
Which player on the Royals so far have you been most impressed with?
So I like to go with the undersung guys a lot, but if you're talking, you know, dynamic plays out there, I'm most unimpressed with Benintendi. So he's just not doing great, but he's playing decent defense. But Carlos Santana, you know, he's a veteran, so he adds a different element to that game. Kind of brings that, not exactly Hosmer-like aura around, but, you know, over on the first base side, he's got that veteranship. So I bet he's in there coaching them up and being there for the younger guys. And then obviously, you know, the exciting prospect of Mr. Hit, you know, Bobby. So it's like I said, an exciting team, and I like the addition of Hanser Alberto if we want to get into defensive talks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like Hanser Alberto as a platoon guy hitting against lefties. He rakes against lefties. I think it's a good fit, especially when Alberto Mondesi comes back, because I don't know what's going to happen with Nicky Lopez, but Lopez is trying his damnedest to keep his starting spot right now.
Yeah, he's the only highlight of the offense the last couple of games, it seems like.
What do you make of Lopez's torrid start of the plate? Can he continue this? What happens when Mondesi gets healthy? How do you think this shakes out?
I think everyone knows Mondesi is going to be there, because look at the production of Witt and Mondesi when they're in there together. It's just absolutely awesome.
Sure.
And then you've got a really young guy, you know, but his bat's very inconsistent. And we're getting a really great look at the consistent part of his bat right now, but it cools off really, really quick. So I think we all know, you know, a lot of the media and then people in the Royals organization, they know that Nicky's got some strides to make. So Mondesi's their guy. I think that this is a great look and a great confidence boost for him, and I think it'll be dividends paid for sure.
Do you think he stays on the roster or is someone else getting sent down? I know Mondesi's taking over shortstop. But I get that. I know Mondesi is going to be the starting dude once he's back and healthy. But is Nicky Lopez enough to keep his a spot on the 26?
Yeah. Hey, Brad Keller keeps pitching the way he is. they might swap him out for him.
Would that be the quickest quickest pull, not injury related, of a opening day starter? That has to be right.
I'm sure it's happened pretty quick before, but he's not bringing no heat, that's for sure.
That's a real good point you made about that. You talked about who you've been impressed with, but who has been a disappointment thus far in your opinion? Obviously, it's only been six games, but as I was telling Strella in the last segment, you know, you can't be, you know, Benintendi, you can't be Carlos Santana, you know, here. We paid you the money we paid you, but you're batting 200 and 174 respectively. Then, of course, looking at Jorge Soler, you know, he's batting only 158. Who's been disappointing thus far as we start the season out about a week and a half ago?
Brad Keller.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking more so.
That's an easy one. But, I mean, honestly, the biggest one, I think, again, another easy one. For me, because I was so hyped and ready for him to come over to Kansas City, I thought his bad year in Boston, his last year, was kind of flukish. But I wrote about him in the preview article that I did over for HoopBall. And, you know, it just is not working for him right now. I'm not sure what's going on. I heard he was working with something on his swing that he started last year in Boston. So I don't know what it is, but to be in a personal sense, he is the one that's disappointed me the most, because I hyped him up a lot within my article that I wrote.
Oh, dude, you have no idea how stoked I was when he came to Kansas City. He was a guy I was like, all right, the Royals are finally in it to win it. Why did the Red Sox give up so cheap? this seems – something seemed fishy, and now we see what it is. He's working through his swing. He's talked about how he was trying to bulk up, trying to pull the ball, trying to get more home runs. Because, you know, I mean, everyone knows in today's Major League Baseball what gets you paid, home runs. So, and that's what he was trying to do. He realized that was probably a mistake, and now he's trying to revert back, and it's tough trying to revert back to something that came so natural. Now you're trying to force it. You're almost stuck in no man's land trying to relearn how to swing again. And I think we'll see him turn it on later, but I do think it's going to take more time. Maybe dropping him out of the two hole will be beneficial for Benintendi. That was a very good alliteration right there. But you mentioned Benintendi, and he came from the Red Sox. Why are you betting on the Red Sox? That's one team I go into the season going, dude, I don't think they're going to be any good. What is your Red Sox takes?
For that reasoning, exactly right there. So we're on the same page.
So we're on the same page here then.
Yeah. It can create a lot of value, a lot of low team totals throughout the season, low win projections and all that. So there's futures stuff in stake there. And, you know, they got started off really rockily against the Orioles, and they just looked really bad. But they competed against Tampa Bay. They put up, I think it was 9 or 10 runs against them in one of those games.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've started putting it together, and they scored a lot of runs against the same Baltimore team that trails them in the first matchup. So I'm not saying they're going to be making the playoffs, but I do like them to finish competitively within the division. Y'all are going to think I'm crazy, but I felt like there's so much positive regression in the crappy pitching that they shed from last year's roster was the biggest addition by subtraction, if you want to say. But, you know, I have the over team total or over team wins on the season on top of them finishing third in the division. I mean, Tampa Bay, look at what these teams in the COVID era are doing when they make it to the championship rounds. You know, they are gassed to start the early next season, and they just, you know, the Lakers are kind of falling apart right now, to speak NBA terms. So I think Tampa Bay and all that pitching that they did last year is going to mess up the balance of their weird pitching attack that Kevin Cash brings into there.
Yeah, that is a very good point. We're seeing a lot of teams who were having this COVID hangover, it seems like, where they're not completely either healthy, they're not 100% bounced back. Some of the arms may have been, you know, a little too much taxing on those arms. I know something that Darren really wants to talk about. So, Darren, I'm doing this for you right here, man. Give us some individual bets tonight, because Darren's over here. He's trying to make a quick buck. Help make Darren a quick buck.
All righty. So, here, I'll tell you how to make a quick $10.
Ooh.
So, Cincinnati, I really like them tonight against Pittsburgh. They are going to be at minus – so in some spots, you're going to be able to get it for minus 150. It did inflate. I locked it in overnight because I really liked it. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I will still play it at minus 150. They're just playing really good right now. I mean, yeah. 5-1 on the year. Their pitching is doing what it was supposed to do. They've got some things figured out with Michael Lorenzen. And then they also – I was talking about this on the podcast today. Freddie Galvis out of that lineup was so good for them. Johnny India looks like a top-notch prospect, and their on-base right now, on-base percentage is killing it. Moose does really well within the NL Central, and I'm really looking forward to backing Cincinnati tonight.
Plus the Pirates are terrible.
Yeah. You know, their top highlight, Ke'Bryan Hayes, he's on the shelf.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They're pitching. You know, I did remember who they were pitching against. I just lost it. But it doesn't really matter because this is, Joey Votto's even doing great. And he's, you know, what, 35 now?
Old. Once he started popping up to first base, you got to go, okay, Joey Votto's not the same. He had that crazy stat where he'd never popped up to first base for like 12 seasons.
Yeah. That's honestly, low-key, my favorite baseball stat ever.
So in the
Cal Ripken games played.
So is that it right there? Just Cincinnati?
Oh, no. Okay. Absolutely not, Sterling.
Okay. Well, I was asking, Devin. I was
he's building up the suspense.
Yeah, he's good over here. He's just telling the intro right here.
I got to let people have time to go place the first bet.
That's what I'm doing.
There we are. All right, so Texas, San Diego, I really love the over in this game. We got Johnny Musgrove on the mound for the Padres. I know this is probably a weird angle to take with Tatis being out, but I believe that Texas is terrible enough to allow San Diego to make up more than enough runs without Tatis in the lineup. Texas, however, this is an angle I really like in this game, too. I like their batting production that they've had early in the season and their efficiencies as an offense. They are top 10 in a lot of batting departments, and a lot of people are sleeping on them. I know they're terrible, and they're going to wash out here. So I got them projected to be one of the worst teams in MLB. But in this capsule of time on this slate of games tonight, we are looking at some value in the Texas Rangers tonight. In over nine, bad bullpens by both teams. Hitters ballpark, the dome's going to be retracted. It's 80 degrees down in Texas. I think the ball is going to be flying. And this is going to be a real fun game to look for low-key batters like Nick Solak of Texas, the Rangers, to get going. And then you've got, you know, you can get a good look at Hosmer if you still got that thing going there in Kansas City. So.
Well, and Joey Gallo is probably going to hit a bomb.
Gallo bomb. I actually got him in a lot of DFS lineups.
Yeah, I do fantasy baseball myself, and he's been starting off pretty solid. Him and Max Muncy have been some pretty solid late round draft picks.
Absolutely, I love Muncy.
All right, give me another one. Give me another game because I'm with you. The first two, I've agreed with you. I've agreed. I've been right on the. You got to take the over with Texas, no matter what it is. Take the over. Their offense is great. Their pitching is abysmal, and San Diego has some fantastic bats. Give us a third one.
Absolutely. All right, so I do want to omit the Cincinnati pick because they're playing Arizona, not Pittsburgh.
I didn't want to say anything.
No, you're good. Call me out.
Hey, I didn't want to say anything, Devin.
Absolutely.
The point still stands.
I look at a lot of games, so it's all good.
In fairness, the point still stands. The Diamondbacks are also bad, but they have Ketel Marte.
Yes. All right, so Los Angeles, Toronto. There are so many bats in this game. I know over 11 is completely nuts, but we're getting even money. Andrew Heaney, he's a left-handed pitcher. The batters of Toronto really like to hit lefties. They do pretty decent against them. They did decent against – or I use decent loosely. They did really well against them last year, going into this season also and throughout spring. So I really like – the spot here for, you know, Otani's just been crushing every ball that touches his bat. I think he's got an exit velocity of like 105 on average of every single ball he's barreled up.
Sure.
And then we also have just shaky bullpens again. You know, the defense improved for Toronto, but if their starters don't get six or seven innings, we're seeing some middle game, you know, fifth to seventh inning clusters of runs. But they're able to get it right back with guys like Lourdes Gurriel and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Obviously, he had a dinger last night. And so, you know, I like this spot. Exciting teams. I was on the under last night, foolishly, because I like the pitchers and their matchups.
Sure,
but I overlooked some things. So I'm looking at the over. I'm going to flip it back around.
Did you somehow overlook Mike Trout?
Yeah, so he was a small, tiny asterisk in there somewhere.
Yeah. Mike Trout, again, is already leading Major League Baseball in wins above replacement, which means stats are now official.
Yes.
It means the season's now underway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other games you're looking for today or tonight or maybe even over the weekend? You know, I'll give you a whole slate.
Oh, man. You'll never get me off the phone if you do that. So the weekend – like I said, I like to approach things as they come at me because I like to see how the market settles, see how things are shifting, the psychology of the bettors and the market makers and all that good stuff. But as far as some hardwood action, NBA tonight, I got a couple plays. I'll just rapid fire a couple of them out.
Darren, get ready, baby. Get that computer ready.
Yeah, get your pins ready. So, and I don't know. It's the Timberwolves. But something's telling me to take the 8.5 against Boston.
Ooh.
Boston is, they're a 500 ball club. This just seems like a game that they would lose, but I'm not that bold. So I'm going to just go ahead and take the 8.5. Karl-Anthony Towns has been playing decent with McDaniels in there. Seems like they got half of another player to work with them there. So, they're putting up buckets. They're going to allow a lot of buckets. But Boston is so inefficient, and I'm looking at them to maybe – undersell a performance here in a look ahead spot maybe. And then Chicago to win outright against Atlanta. Atlanta's without John Collins, and if he even is miraculously ruled in, he's going to not be 100%. So let me roll with the Bulls. Kind of like the Royals and the Red Sox, I've been betting on the Bulls a lot this year, and I've been seeing some really nice trends with them. They're healthy with LaVine and Vooch now.
Yeah.
So LaVine's nice and healthy. Secretly, probably my second or third favorite player in the league. And I like the Bulls roster construct, and they play defense when they need to, and they got some really nice young guys in there. Patrick Williams, Markkanen can hit some buckets if he's a, you know, playing decent. So Kobe White's healthy again. You know, it's an exciting Bulls team. So I like to say the Bulls.
So we got Minnesota 8.5. We got the Bulls.
+105 on the money line.
Oh, we're doing the money line. Okay.
Yeah, Darren, he's going balls to the wall, baby.
Well, because they opened as a 4-point underdog, and it drops all the way to a 1.5-point spread right now. Now, I'm going to be that guy without being that guy. I locked in a +3 last night, but I like the +105 on the money line now currently.
All right. Two games you didn't touch on. Before we get out of here, I got to ask on these two, because these were two games I was hoping you're going to touch on. I love betting on the Knicks. For some reason, the Knicks are one team. They bring rocks to each game. It's like they have steel-toed boots, and they just kick other teams. That's what they do.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Knicks and the Grizzlies? Grizz are 1.5-point favorites. The over-under is 215.5. What do you make of this game right here?
I actually have two plays on this game. So that, you know, that all worked out. I was holding out, I guess you could say. Memphis -1.5. It just seems like a spot that the matchup, it works well for them, in my opinion. I really like the matchup between Valanciunas and Randle. I think that's going to be a really fun thing to watch if you're a basketball fan. So it offers you that appeal. And then, like you said, it rock fight, you know, but Memphis, their nickname, their Twitter handle, their hashtag is Grind City. You know, and probably relying a little bit more on the Zeebo days, less so to now. But, you know, nonetheless, the hashtag still stands. And, you know, I like both of these teams. And like you said, you like betting on them. I love looking at the Knicks. But I'm going to bet against them tonight. Memphis on a short spread of -1.5. So I think they're better than a bucket team.
All right, final one. Final one. So, Darren, get ready for this one. Sixers, Pelicans. 220, I think it's 228, over-under. The line is Sixers with six.
228, yeah.
What are you doing here? You taking Embiid over Zion?
So, Zion's second game back, or is this his first game back?
No, this is Joel Embiid's second game. You talking about Zion? I don't think Zion was
there. Well, since they came back. I believe it. Yeah, so this is Embiid's second. I faded. So, speaking of the Grizzlies, I took the Grizzlies at +160 against the Sixers when Embiid came back. I love fading teams getting stars back. It's a theory and a method that we practice at HootBall from one of the vice president himself, Dan Bresbris. So, if this is Zion's first game back, I just have to heavily put the fade the star theory into play here. It's a -250 money line, so there's absolutely no value there for me. -6 is just a weird key number as far as a basketball game goes.
Yep.
So for me,
not touching it's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I hate to leave it on that note, but you don't have to bet everything.
Yeah.
But the good thing is we have basketball to watch, and we can enjoy this as a basketball viewership and learn some things for future betting angles.
So basically what you're saying is don't take the Sixers -6.
Correct. Yes, that is right, Mr. Smith. Darren, yes, it is.
Yeah. Sometimes the best bet is not a bet. I tell Darren this all the time, Devin. Devin, I tell Darren all the time, you don't always have to bet. And he always says, what, Darren? You always say yes, you do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yes, you do.
He goes. It's
I mean,
just
somebody has to win. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose.
He always goes, it's just a dollar. It's just a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's some people that do that, and it works out phenomenally for them. I did not have a great success rate with it, so if you do good at it, I'm not going to tell you to change it.
All right, Devin.
I had a good Final Four. That's what I did do.
He did, and he won't let us drop it. We both had the same two teams, but he won't let us drop it. We both had Gonzaga and Baylor.
Who'd you have in there?
Baylor-Gonzaga. Everyone had Baylor-Gonzaga.
I had Baylor-Gonzaga, but I had Baylor covering, and I had Baylor straight up with the points. So, you know, I came out good in that game.
All right, Devin Ellington of HoopBall, thank you so much for joining us. Let's make some money. We really appreciate you coming on. I know Darren's stoked over here because he's rubbing his hands.
Yeah, because I just got through doing my parlay, so I appreciate it very much.
He just got done with that, and I want you to know he put $1 on all of your things to happen, so that way it's all going to be a – what's the final of it, Darren? A dollar to win what?
I bet $2.07. It would be like $1,480.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Devin, make him a rich man. Devin Ellington, again, of HoopBall. Find him on Twitter. Where can people find you? Where can people see your work, and what do you have coming up next?
Yeah, so Twitter handle is at DALE007. Website's hoop-ball.com. Wager pass article there is where I'll submit 95% of my plays. I do free plays and such and conversation and banner on Twitter. Always looking to collaborate, so I'm always trying to be active within any kind of sports sector. We got college football coming up, draft season, so... I'm a chameleon. You know, I like to talk about all of it, but I do love my high-volume sports, and HoopBall allows me to do that. So Today in Sports Betting is a podcast. You can look it up on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, all the – there's a lot of technology stuff that I'm terrible at. So,
well, Devin, we really appreciate it. And if you hit – or if Darren, I should say, hits on this $1,400 parlay, you'll be coming on, I think, about every single day. Devin Ellington, thank you so much. We'll take a quick break.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, guys.
This is Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Twitter and Facebook Live. Thank you again to Devin Ellington of HoopBall coming on, giving us some bets, giving us the rundown, the lowdown on the Kansas City Royals, as well as giving his thoughts on the Boston Red Sox in his everyday picks. Darren, I love DMX, man.
Look, there's one thing, obviously, a DMX, the rapper, but let's not forget, he was a pretty good actor, too. I mean, obviously, his film debut with Belly, that was something that a lot of people don't seem to remember, but I loved him in Romeo Must Die and X-Men Wars and Cradle to the Grave, because now he was in Cradle to the Grave and X-Men Wars. I think both of those had Steven Seagal in both of those or whatever, but he's played in some good movies, man, that again, it's going to be something that he is truly going to be missing. You know, I remember watching him on The Breakfast Club one time, and you could tell that, you know, saying drugs kind of was getting the better of him, but he was still, you know, he still had that same fire, that sameness, you know, and it was just like, when you heard that, you just, you know, it made you feel a certain kind of way. So, man, he is truly going to be missed, man. What was your favorite DMX song? Wakes me up every
day. Man. And I'm forever grateful for your love. I'm not gonna lie, Where the Hood At? That one I just played. I don't know why. Everyone tried doing that voice though, you know, it's like a lower, gravelier Rick Ross voice. Everyone tried doing it.
Well, let's do this, Sterling. Let's go out on DMX, man. You have a great weekend, and we'll do this again on Monday. But let's end the show on some DMX for what he's got to say.
I'm just the one that's giving it. And when it seems like the pressure gets to be too much, take time out and pray, and ask that you be my crutch. Lord, I am not perfect by a long shot, I confess to you daily. But I work hard every day, and I hope that you hear me. In my heart I mean well, but if you'll help me to grow, then what I have in my heart will begin to show. And when I get going, I'm not looking back for nothing, 'cause I will know where I'm headed, and I'm so tired of the suffering. I stand before you a weakened version of your reflection. Begging for direction, for my soul needs resurrection. I don't deserve what you've given me, but you never took it from me. Because I am grateful, and I use it, and I do not worship money. If what you want from me is to bring your children to you, my regret is only having one life to do it instead of two. Amen.